joined this morning by Carrie Birmingham. Carrie has held a number of senior HR management positions throughout the course of her career across a number of sectors, such as travel and banking. But most interestingly for us today, she latterly spent 10 years as HR director at News UK. As I'm sure a lot of us will recall, it was a very well publicised time for News, and Carrie was intrinsically involved in handling the impact of issues such as the unexpected closure of News of the World, charges being brought for phone hacking, and a number of employee arrests for paying public officials. It has taught her a lot about what can happen when a crisis puts a business under public scrutiny, and today we'll be talking to her about these experiences and gleaning some insight into how we can apply some lessons learnt should the unexpected happen in our own businesses. Thank you for joining us today, Carrie. Perhaps we could start by asking you to tell us a wee bit about yourself, your career, and then perhaps remind us of the events that you faced at News UK.
Good morning, Chloe. So what about me? Well, I'm a passionate cook, I'm a yoga practitioner, I'm a doggy mama, and I'm somebody who loves camping. And for work, as you mentioned, I worked in HR for 20 years. This inspired me to do a master's at Roffey, and off the back of that I was able to deliver and be involved in a couple of really big transformation programs in manufacturing and commercial. As you mentioned, I worked at News UK for 10 years, and the experiences I gained there I've taken to run my own consultancy, which is focused on helping businesses when they're handling extraordinary events. That's mainly because, as you mentioned, while I was at News, we faced crises and problems on all fronts. We were a disrupted industry, mainly because people now get their free news online and they don't want to pay for a newspaper. Obviously, a sort of industry-wide problem. We had the scandal involving phone hacking. With no planning, we had to close a newspaper. That meant several hundred staff, freelancers and employees were made redundant with absolutely no planning, and we did that whilst in the spotlight and with literally the press camped on our front door. We handled the implications of having over 20 employees arrested for paying public officials, and unbelievably it took 5 years from the moment of the first arrest to the last acquittal, and people's lives were on hold and in limbo during that period. In fact, no journalist was found guilty from those police operations for paying public officials. At the same time, Rupert Murdoch, our chairman, was questioned by the Culture, Media and Support Select Committee about his fitness to lead an international company. A moment of lightness in all of this shade was his wife blocking a phone pie at that said Select Committee. Not something you'd ever imagine would happen.
A very, very challenging set of circumstances, Carrie, and I think it says a lot about your own resilience that you saw quite so much and you were there quite so long. I think what would be very interesting to understand is what your communication strategy was during the course of these events, as you were really, I guess, moving from one set of circumstances to another, and indeed a communication strategy that impacts both internal employees and indeed your freelance population, and indeed the external communications.
Well, I think it's very topical, Chloe. Obviously, at the newspapers at the moment are surrounded by Carillion and how they've handled their business. There's a very wise gentleman called Peter Hawkins, who's the Henley Professor of Leadership. And I love the way that he puts this, that in this transparent world, it necessitates ethical maturity. And for me, that means you have no place to hide. What goes on in the inside gets seen in the outside. And I think that's something Carillion are really demonstrating, what happens when that goes wrong. And that really, I suppose, for us was one of the experiences we had. So when it comes to messages, there is no internal or external distinction. We learned that the hard way, and I think other people have too. I think what is different internally is that leaders need to demonstrate humanity. Staff feel all sorts of emotions when these sort of things are happening, whether that's shame, you know, absolute sadness for what's happening. And if they see leaders send emails about everything being fine, they don't believe them. And they also want to have a human conversation. So for me, it was about having a human face to talk to and someone who was acknowledging how they were feeling and that it was okay to talk about that. Because at the end of the day, we have to honour what's going on for people. And ignoring that, I think, has all sorts of implications.
Absolutely right. And I think that's a lesson that can certainly be extrapolated across a number of industries and how you communicate with those working for you and those beyond the company walls. And it's not just a crisis scenario. I think that's a lesson that can be learned for communications generally in a world that is constantly on today. What particular lessons do you feel that you as an HR professional learned from your experiences with news?
I think we learned a number of things over the time. I think you need a larger team. So there is expertise in dealing with extraordinary events that's needed to be deployed. And with them, they bring both capacity because you have more people than you started with. They bring experience, so they know where some of the holes to be avoided are. But I also think they bring some bravery in doing the right thing, because I think it's tempting to want to think that if you put your head in the sand, this thing will go away. In reality, I think we struggled to find those experts. Mm-hmm. Certainly at the point that I was appointed as HR director for The Sun and I typed in crisis HR into Google, I was surprised at how little was on offer. I think you need to really talk about the brutal truth with staff. It feels uncomfortable to do it, but when you have employees who are facing an uncertain future, they want to talk about what could happen. In our case, that was about being found guilty. And it feels so tempting not to have to contemplate that. I think you also have to remember that when people are in trauma, they can't hear you. So they want to protect themselves, and their capacity to hear gets quite limited quite quickly. So you need to be really patient and understand the fact that their capacity has been reduced. I think you also need to remember that staff are watching what you're doing. You know, your employees are actually your best marketing department. And if you ignore them because you're too busy focusing on shareholders and customers, they notice. And that means when they get asked down the pub by somebody, you know, what's going on at your place, that looks terrible. They actually agree with people because they don't have any additional information. So help them understand and help them answer those questions for you. Because that will put your company in the best position to recover. And don't forget that people feel, you know, pretending that it's okay and that we can send an email saying this is all going to be fine just doesn't cut it. You have to remember that those emotions will get you sooner or later unless you deal with them. Mm-hmm. It might not be today, but they will continue to have an effect on your business. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I think certainly that when you're in that kind of pressured scenario, it's very easy for employees to look up and expect leaders to have all the answers. And I think you use the word showing some humanity and recognising that it is a very difficult situation to be in for everybody involved, and showing some degree of empathy with what they're feeling and allowing them to see how you are feeling, I think will go a long way. I wonder what your thoughts are, Carrie, on how prepared and well-equipped today's HR leadership, and indeed the broader business leadership, is equipped to cope with crisis. And in fact, maybe there's some implications for general business continuity plans in the face of such events.
Well, there's a few people who tend to get involved in these sort of events. In my experience, a good HR person can probably handle a single crisis well. I think, you know, common sense and getting people gets you a long way. I think what I learned was doing it at scale over an extended period is just a completely different ball game. You get overwhelmed pretty quickly and you aren't in a position to cope with what we often describe as business as usual. So I do think that we need to equip ourselves in doing the right thing in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that extends to the sort of wider leadership. Not everybody has the capacity to do this. It can be trained, but we don't tend to invest in it until we need it. Mm-hmm. And it's not a good idea to learn how to do this in a crisis. Mm-hmm. Whilst you learn a lot, and I certainly did, by making mistakes, they're going to have wider reaching implications. You know, the shame, sort of trauma and fear that are triggered in organisations every day, we just aren't talking about, and we don't really develop the capacity to handle them. So for me, I do think organisations need to be investing in building individual and sort of organisational capacity to do the right thing. I think in crises, in extraordinary events, they need to learn how to lead with humanity. And I think that's something they can develop and would serve them well in everyday business. And I think afterwards, I think we should also be thinking about how we don't help businesses get back to how it was before, but actually take the opportunity to learn that something significant has happened and use it as an opportunity to transform. It certainly was for news, and I think it has been for other people along the way. And I think that really means drawing on all sorts of skills, whether those are crisis management, PR, organisational development, coaching. I think it's a combined effort, really. Mm-hmm. But I think most organisations think they can work with what they have and it will be okay. And I don't think that's always the case.
I think that's a really valid point, and particularly when you understand more in the business press at large, not just the HR press, around issues of health and well-being. I think occupational health is certainly an area that organisations are taking much more seriously, both on a day-to-day basis, but also recognising when you need to deal with spikes of activity that had not necessarily been planned. I'm aware, Carrie, that you've been doing some research recently to understand how to handle extraordinary events or crises, and have got some quite remarkable insights as a result. Could you share some of these with us?
Well, I think the first remarkable insight was actually it was quite difficult to find examples of people doing this well. Mm. So what often gets reported in the press and in HR magazines is, here's an example of an organisation doing a terrible job. And I think the word crisis in and of itself is fascinating. So in the research, when I was able to locate people who could talk about what they did, the impact it had, and how it made a difference, the first thing I noticed was that people were often wanting to deny they were facing a crisis. There was almost some shame in admitting that that's what they had going on. They were very happy to talk about other people's problems, but not necessarily their own. And I also think that people kind of wanted to think, it's going to be okay, I can cope, so I don't need to be talking about this or getting extra help. So to start with, it was quite hard to find people that could share good experiences of handling these type of events. But I did find some amazing people who were able to sort of distill, I suppose, from doing 18 interviews, you know, what are the 7 things that we need to be thinking about? And I'll be launching those results shortly. They include some of the things that we've already talked about this morning, but also I think they also talk about what it takes to be a leader handling these type of situations and what it means to actually invest in skill to do that.
Fantastic. And actually, we look forward very much to seeing those results when you're ready to publish them. What makes you so passionate about this topic, Carrie?
Yeah, it was an interesting question. I mean, I was an employee who went from being proud to embarrassed when I was working there. I had to really deal with my own shame of the fact that I had family members and friends who judged me for going there and saying, well, how can you be involved in that sort of dirty organisation? And that really started to make me think about, if I was experiencing that and it was my job, you know, to take care of people, what was it like for other people? I think that soul searching resulted in me deciding that if I was going to stay, I had to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And so I got really curious and interested in what it's like to work in an organisation through that situation and the difference it could make. I mean, you know, I saw some quite personal damage done to people because of what was happening. And I just think if we can find ways to avoid that, I think we should. You know, if you're speaking to a finance director, I think the numbers stack up too. You know, there've been multiple case studies showing the sort of impact on the bottom line this can have, and including, you know, getting it wrong can see a 15% fall in the share price. So I think it's the sort of subject that can, you know, make or destroy a business, and I think for that reason we should care about it.
I think that's absolutely valid, and I think you'll find there's a lot of people listening to this cast today probably grateful for the fact that you've shone a light in an area that people do probably find quite difficult to deal with in the first instance. Really grateful for your time this morning, Carrie. And if anybody has been touched by anything they've heard Carrie talk about or would like to have a further conversation, and particularly hopefully we can help share your results when you're ready to publish, anybody wants to reach out to Carrie, you can certainly do that by getting in touch with me, Chloe Watts at WBMS, or indeed I'm very happy to pass on Carrie's website, which is carrieconsult.co.uk. But for this morning, thank you very much indeed for your time, Carrie.
Thank you.